Well, hello everyone. Last week I was away and I spent a good deal of the time engaging in one of my favourite activities, which is watching the BBC archive on YouTube, basically watching old documentaries, old footage from the 50s, 60s, etc. And recently I've been talking about, kind of joking, that I just want to go off on my own and live in a lighthouse. So, you know, I'm a kind of grumpy around the place. I've been saying, look, I'm going to leave soon and live in a lighthouse. So say that. And so I've been interested in, lighthouse keepers at the moment. And I watched two documentaries, one from 1969, set in North Scotland, where there was a lighthouse on this little island called Sewell Skerry, I think it was called. And then I watched a later one from 1973, where there was another kind of island lighthouse on the southwest coast just off Cornwall. I forgot what it was called now, but it's the last lighthouse in the southwest. And then there's 3,000 miles of Atlantic Ocean there. And honestly, I found them absolutely captivating. Put me off being a lighthouse keeper, I have to say, because it was looked like pretty hard work. But I also found them quietly inspiring as well. And it reminded me of lots of the ways in which British society has changed in many ways for the worse. One of the things, for example, is that these lighthouse keepers, they would live 2 months in the lighthouse and then they'd spend 1 month living with their families and then they'd be 2 months on again like that. So they'd have these 2 month stretches of living in the lighthouse, typically in a crew of three. So there were three men who'd live in the lighthouse and they would rotate their shift. And they were pretty difficult. It was a pretty difficult job because the lighthouse worked on this clockwork mechanism. And if the kind of clockwork thing ever reached the floor, the light would go out and they would be instantly fired from the authority who employs them. Instant dismissal if you forget to wind up the clockwork thing. And it needed doing every half an hour. And of course, lives were depending on them. You know, if the lighthouse isn't there, a ship could crash into the rocks, cause damage, shipwrecks, etc. They also had food packages that came in. They'd have rations for 14 weeks. And in one of the documentaries, they follow the guys who are trying to bring the supplies in, and if they're not able to, let's say it's too stormy and they can't land, they can't kind of come ashore to give the supplies, they actually go away and don't come back for 5 weeks. So it's kind of they were kind of hardy, these guys, both the guys who worked on those ships supplying the lighthouses and the lighthouse keepers themselves. One of the things that struck me about these lighthouse keepers is how, despite the fact that they were living on their own with only two other guys, every single one of them was immaculate. Okay, now imagine that you're living on a lighthouse, you're not going to see anybody for 2 months, still wearing the hat, the uniform, the tie. They kept to their schedule, they did their job to the letter, and that takes a certain dedication and duty and sense of obligation that has almost been entirely lost. I mean, nowadays people they barely dress smartly in any circumstance, let alone living in a lighthouse. So that was very interesting as well. Yeah, I mean, it was just a bit of an eye-opener. And then I started thinking about the kind of structure behind it and some of the political questions, because these lighthouses obviously were under port authority and run by the government. So the lighthouse keepers were, despite the fact that some of them were fifth generation, I mean, one guy in one of these documentaries was a fifth generation lighthouse keeper. That means that his father before him, his father before that, so four forefathers had been lighthouse keepers before him. Okay, back five generations, quite a long time to be in one profession. But yet his employer was the British state. Okay, these were all state employees. And, you know, this was post-war consensus, I guess, Keynesian economics, right? Or small s socialist Britain in the 60s and the 70s that would basically pay the salaries of these guys. They didn't get paid that much, but they got allowances for when they were living in the lighthouse for food expenses and various other things, which they would have to budget. Quite a lot of their time, they did their own housekeeping, they did their own cooking, which they often took in, you know, they did it in shifts, and they took it really seriously. And it seems like several of those guys actually enjoyed, you know, that housekeeping part of it as well, which is a little bit unusual, I guess. But there was a stress on how being a lighthouse keeper was a certain personality type as well. It took a certain sort of person to want to do this job at all. It also interested me that this was an example of what you might call actually living socialism, you could call it. Actually living socialism after the measures of the Attlee government in the 1940s and then successive post-war consensus governments, you know, Macmillan and Wilson and Heath, and then we didn't quite get up to Callaghan, but it was kind of those governments who had brought this type of Britain into existence. Now, you could argue that, having a big state would slowly but surely erode that sort of thing, and that this attitude was riding the fumes and the sense of duty from after the Second World War or from after the Empire, that these were actually old Empire type of values, or they were values inculcated through like the Blitz spirit or something like that. But it strikes me that, you know, that in 1973, it was still very much there. Those guys were not all really old either. Some of them were in their 20s. And in fact, in that 73 one, we were watching a new recruit come in and being shown the ropes by some of the older hands there. And it strikes me that all of those things were very much still intact in 1973. And it's interesting that one of the lighthouses, the one in Sewell, the one up in Scotland, was automated in 1982. It's still there now, but it's just not manned. And a lot of the automation came in Thatcher's Britain. It was automated, and that way of life, that kind of job that had been in families for generations, was lost in the 1980s because they became automated. And in fact, these documentaries were talking about how these guys were kind of the last of a dying breed. And it just made me think, it made me reflect on the fact that it was really the 80s that killed a lot of that Britain. That is the Britain of those lighthouse keepers, is also the same Britain that Peter Hitchens is remembering in The Abolition of Britain. It's the same Britain, you know, it's the Dixon of Doc Green, it's the Bobby on the beat, it's the chap in the uniform, it's Trumpton, is what it is. It was actually living, and it was actually breathing. And you could argue it was being held in place artificially by a Keynesian interventionist state, big state government, was holding that, all of that in place. Now, you could argue that it couldn't persist or it was losing money. I mean, those arguments are for a different day, but it strikes me that that order that we see is actually being facilitated and funded by a state that takes those sorts of things seriously. And a lighthouse, interestingly, is one of those scenarios where it's not actually that profitable to run a lighthouse. It's a well-known problem in economics, the lighthouse problem. It's a public good. It's a vital service that somebody needs to do. But if the state does not step in to intervene, it's not a very profitable thing to run, right? I mean, you could argue maybe like the ship build, the ship, the guy who's running the transport ships or whatever could get together and between them decide, well, we're going to fund this lighthouse. But it's very convoluted and it's made a lot easier if the state just does it instead. So it's actually a interesting applied economics example too. But I was much more interested by the kind of social side. And I watching it, I was thinking, like, this is kind of the world that a lot of us maybe yearn for in a way and have been denied by kind of modern Britain or post-Thatcher Britain. Life may have been harder. You're never going to beat the convenience of having the automated lighthouse, etc. But it just showed a glimpse into a different attitude, a different way of life, a different mode of being. I thought I'd share it with you. If you haven't seen it, they're both just on YouTube here on the BBC Archive. I recommend you check them out. Pick up my new book, Applied Elite Theory, which is available in all good stores now. And I'll catch you next time. If you like this video, be sure to like and subscribe. You can join the channel for thousands of hours of past shows in the archive and hundreds of videos. If you have any questions, you can leave a super chat or a super thanks, and I'll be sure to pick it up during my weekly office hours, which run every Tuesday afternoon. I also provide courses at the academic agency, which I encourage people to buy. Thousands of students now have taken the Trivium to improve their skills in writing, logic, and rhetoric. Just three of many courses available. Buy it now. But most importantly of all, friends, get out.